Call the Unalaska City Council to order. Let's see, I'll ask Councilman Luby to read our mission statement, please.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you. City Clerk, may I have a roll call?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Longo?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Tongo?
Here.
Mr. Tudikoff?
Here. We do have a quorum. Please join us, Councilman Nicholson, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Welcome all those here in the chamber and those on the phone. I don't know who's on the phone, but welcome. We have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda.
I'll move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Luby. Is there any objections? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. Time is community input and announcements. Community input or announcements.
I have one, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
This was sent to us, emailed to us today. The Unalaska City School District will be celebrating the Multicultural Celebration on May 2nd at 1:10 p.m. until 2:15 at the Unalaska City School Big Gym. It's open to the public, and if you have any questions, please contact Mr. LaFortessa at 907-359-1606. So celebrate the colorful festivals, traditional dances, and the myriad of cultures at the UCSD.
Okay, thank you.
On behalf of the Visitors Bureau, I just remind people of the wine tasting on Saturday, May 3rd. I'm not sure what time it starts, I think 6. And then for USAVE, we had a very successful soup off fundraiser on the 29th. We raised just around $25,000, which is just amazing for us. And I also want to mention that on Monday, May 5th, we are co-sponsoring a march to bring awareness to missing and murdered Indigenous women and Indigenous people. We will meet at 5:30. That's a Monday, so we'll meet at 5:30 at the high school parking lot. And depending on the weather, we're going to walk down Broadway and then around Front Beach and then up to City Hall and then back down. And if the weather is terrible, we may modify that a little bit. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments or inputs or announcements from the community? All right, hearing none. Next item is public comments on the agenda items. Is there any public comment? Those in chamber? Anybody on the Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. Nobody indicated they wanted to make a comment.
Okay, thank you. Our next item is a work session. May I have a motion and a second to go into a work session?
I make a motion to go into work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, second by Councilman Tungle. Are there any objections? Hearing none, no objections. We are in a work session at 6:06 p.m. First item is present departmental operating budgets. Jim Sharp. There he is, hiding in the back. Finance Director, Interim.
Good evening.
So on your agenda tonight is a first view of a more or less complete agenda, or sorry, not agenda, but budget for fiscal year 2026. There are a couple of caveats that I will mention right away. You will not see amounts in there for capital projects, for the school, or for the community support grant, simply because we haven't approved those yet at the council level. But the rest of the operating budget is included here, and I'll walk through it briefly, but and I'll answer what questions you have, but I will defer to directors who are here. They'll have a more intimate understanding and knowledge of changes to their budget. The first portion of the memo you'll notice is a talk about the council goals, and you'll see that based on what we're presenting to you tonight, we have met those goals. And with respect to the proprietary funds, that is one of the goals that shows up. They're in the process of wrapping up their rate study. The revenue amounts that show up in the budget do reflect that. And any other questions, you know, we can certainly answer those as best we can. But again, that would probably be most likely for the director to respond to those. The revenue items we did discuss back in February, there have been no changes to this point with respect to increases or decreases. We do feel that those are good amounts with respect to the revenue side on the general fund. For the departmental budgets, the city manager and I and the deputy city manager met with all of the directors to go through their budget to get a better understanding of what they were requesting and justification for the any significant changes from 2025 to 2026. And then I followed up with each of the directors and asked for some additional information, and that's included in the memo this evening. There is one item that when I came in this evening that the PCR director mentions to me, you will notice that their other professional services account, the budget line item went up 1,900%. That's related to the feasibility study. It's a one-time event and it follows up the plan that was presented to council approximately a month ago. I feel like with that, I'm certainly open to take questions. I know that there were some questions that came in or some concerns from council members. I'll answer them as best that I can. And again, anything that I cannot answer, we'll pass along to the director. They are here tonight.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions or for Jim on the financial projections? Operating budget? Councilman Bell?
Start off with a quick question. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of asking these here. These probably record questions I could ask ahead of time. So if you don't have the answer, you can get back to me. That would be great. But one note, thing I did note in several different departments was a large increase in legal services budgeted of greater than it has been in previous years. So I was just wondering about that. So.
Yeah, the amount of money that we've been using and the amount of times we've been consulting with our legal services has dramatically increased because there are several things and reasons why. And I've encouraged my staff to use the legal services as best they can when they're coming into certain situations. It's just one of those things that we've needed to do.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions for Jim? Councilman Luby.
So I noticed that FTEs increased just a little bit. So I was curious. I mean, it's not a lot, a quarter of an FTE, but I was just curious why that was increasing.
I talked with, so Kelly Tompkins puts that portion of the presentation or the budget together. And previously, we'd had a temporary position included in the budget that was not added to the FTE count. So I told her to just include it. That's something that came from a prior city manager administration. Really, there's no increase in personnel. It's really more just a presentation item.
Okay. And then maybe just a couple of comments here. On the revenues, I'm a little bit concerned about our investments, seeing what the stock market's doing. And I'm just kind of curious, is a lot of those funds, are they volatile based on the stock market, or is there just interest-bearing accounts, or how? I mean, I noticed that you did drop the revenue significantly, so I mean, that's a good thing, but I was just curious about those.
Sure, I can respond to that. The city's investments, there are really two items. One is they have an investment portfolio that is managed by Alaska Permanent Capital Management, APCM. And that is our investment portfolio that has stocks, not stocks, but bonds, short-term notes, that sort of thing. And then we have an AMLIP account, which is really a money market fund. And so on the money market account, we receive interest on a monthly basis. Interest rates go up, we receive more, interest rates go down. It's really dependent upon the interest rates. The portfolio is impacted by how the markets go. I just completed our investment reconciliation for March. I did that today. And I would have expected it to have gone down. It did not. The nature of our investments, they're more governmental in nature. So in that sense, they're a little bit more sheltered from significant swings within investments. We don't hold any Google stock or Apple or anything of that nature. It really is all bonds and mostly governmental. With respect to the interest or investment income that's shown in the budget, my approach is to show what we truly feel we will collect and leave out any significant changes in the portfolio balances that goes up and down. Either way we look at it, it typically is not money that we have available to spend. It is the AMLIP account, which we can certainly transfer monies into as we need to. So we could if we did, but we don't necessarily rely upon that to pay the bills as they come in.
Okay, well, that's actually kind of good news to hear.
Yes.
I
But I
don't.
can't guarantee how it's been for the last week.
Right. Yeah, the interest rates doesn't sound like they're gonna drop anytime soon. So, hopefully that will hold for us. So that'll be good. So with the sales tax again, with the 20% drop in fuel, I'm a little bit worried that that's going to be a little bit lower. I guess we'll know a little more after the next quarter when we actually receive sales tax. But I think businesses are seeing a trend down as well. And I mean, I can say that we're seeing a in the first quarter an 8% drop, which is going to reflect in sales tax. And so, most likely we're going to have a drop in sales tax where before it was like, oh, all the prices are up, our sales tax is going to reflect that. So,
Sure.
anyway, I think it'll be really close to what we have. But you guys did a really good job, and I actually want to say that I appreciate, the order that we did the budget, that we've worked on the budget this year. It was a lot smoother than we have in past years, just with the flow, knowing what the revenues are, looking at the CMMP, and then seeing what the operational budget is for you guys. So I'm very concerned about the proprietary funds, though, and I don't feel like those increases that we're showing right now, because they do include a rate increase, I don't think it's going to be enough. It doesn't look like it to me. But anyway, so I guess that's a discussion later, which is going to be really hard, to deal with as well, because costs are already so high, and increasing rates is not always easy. But yeah, I was just trying to think of what else there was. I don't, I see that this is going to be a really tough budget to balance. It's not going to balance, with the amount of money that's left in the general fund. There really isn't enough money even for the CMMP and the school and the grants. It's not going to pencil out there. So we're going to have to look at something different there if we're going to try to balance this budget somehow. And I know we don't talk about depreciation in the general fund, but we do talk about it in the proprietary funds. And me and you had a conversation about it a little bit. But I really, you know, I was kind of putting some numbers to it. And it, to me, it looks like, you know, if we funded depreciation and we transferred that, you know, it doesn't really, there's no cash, right, that leaves. But it does, if we're funding it, it would make our cash account grow. We would have a savings, right? And then when we go to replace equipment, we would have the funds to do that. And it would be like, kind of like we use the 1% fund. It could be a separate fund so that we can balance our budget without affecting the year-to-year, you know, budget, because we have the money set aside for it. And so that's something that, you know, I would look at in the future to see if there's something, some way we can do something like that. So, and how it would pencil out, you know, just to kind of see. But anyway, that's, I guess, about all that I really had to say. It doesn't look really good to me, but thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if I may comment. With respect to the proprietary funds, you will notice in the budget that it does include an amount for depreciation. And frankly, I struggle with the inclusion of that in a budget simply because it's a non-cash item. To me, depreciate your budget should be your cash spending plan. So if you look at it without that, you can see that each of the proprietary funds do show a positive amount. That certainly doesn't address the comment that you had with respect to setting money aside for those capital projects. And Bill and I talked about this a little bit today. Surely if we have a significant capital project, if we're going to construct a new powerhouse at that cost, we would have to go out for funding. I don't think that's, whether we have the cash setting aside or not, I think just it's a prudent measure to take that out and get bond for it and pay it back over time. So that's one comment. The other comment that I wanted to make with respect to the general fund, if you look at the memo, I did list out anticipated revenue, anticipated personnel and operating expenses. And the amount that I put in there for others is truly an estimate based on, it's going to be at the, if you scroll up, S. Garland, right, keep going up. And a little bit more. Should be right before we get to the expenses. Or the revenue, I believe. Sorry. Top of page 2. A little bit. Page 2 of the, sorry, of the memo. Right there. Yes. If you notice the other expenses in parentheses there, I have estimate, and that's based on the amounts that we budgeted last year for the community support grants and for the school. And again, that's truly based, it is an estimate, but it does show that we have a surplus. And as long as there's no significant increases with respect to the community support grants and the school funding, we'll be okay, which I think has typically been the approach. If we can present an operating budget that at least balances, we're okay. And we use other dollars for the capital projects. And I feel as though this meets that, because that was one of the budget goals, was to present an operating budget that does at least balance.
Good, thanks. Thanks, Jim. Any further questions? Comment?
Do you have anything, Mr. Mayor?
Sir?
Do you have anything, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. You're good. Councilman Dungal.
That's good to hear. You know, we're not getting a lot of red, so no, on getting this budget with the revenue and expenses that we're going to have. With the market, I think things will be changed, but I see you did $1 million less from the last year budget, the 25. So your 26-year million dollar less, right, on your budget. Is that what
it is? I'd put zero in there just so that we don't count on it. Uh-huh. But I feel like we need to put something in there to be prudent, because we will receive a decent amount. But I don't want to overstate it, and I don't want us to rely on that for operational purposes. I just don't think that's appropriate.
Yeah, with a lot of uncertainty with the markets, the way it goes right now, yeah, everybody's, you know, even when we went to the Capitol, they're really concerned, and there's no no prediction on what's going to happen. It's just waiting.
So wait and see.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim, you mentioned early on that cities as a government are kind of shielded from what's happening in the market. We're not invested in a lot of the stocks and bonds that were in government type bonds and those kinds of things, which are a lot less likely to be disturbed. Is that correct?
The investment portfolio is mostly comprised of governmental debt and high quality commercial debt. So the Apples and Googles of the world. And those, unless interest rates significantly change, or if you have a company that goes in the tank from an operational standpoint, I think we're fairly well shielded from that. That's not to say that we won't feel some of that, but you don't lose the money unless you cash it in. I mean, on paper, it may go up and it may go down, but you're not going to realize that unless you really need the money, which I don't. I mean, the city has roughly $90 million in its AMLEP or money market account that it can use first. That should get us through any, if we see a really significant downturn in our portfolio balance, and we need money, we can pull from that AMLEP account, and there should be enough there to get us through that cycle.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Does anyone wish to speak? We'll receive public comments or 3 minutes per person. Anybody in chambers? Anybody online or Zoom?
No one indicated, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Move on to next item. The present final capital major maintenance plan. I'll turn this over to City Manager and the Planning Director.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. So tonight we're presenting the latest iteration of the CMMP. For your consideration, and Planning Director Cameron Dean is here tonight to go through that. Mr. Dean.
Okay, thank you, Mayor and Council. Like Bill said, this is the third time we've spoken about the CMMP for FY26. So I'm gonna focus on the changes that we made since the last meeting based on your feedback. So to start off with, for FY26, we currently have $25.6 million in total on the CMMP. Of that, $7.6 million is coming from grants. The big change from that, from the last draft you saw, is moving the wind energy development project to FY27. Looking at the timelines for the grants, felt like FY27 was more realistic for actually getting that funding and having to commit the match for it. So we decided to move it back a year, but the grant itself is not changing. As far as there's a couple new projects on here. First is the library generator. This isn't actually a new project, but it's new on the CMMP. We've been planning this for a while to use a generator that we already own, install it at the library as an emergency backup there. Previously just didn't include it on the CMMP before. I think it was in capital outlay on NPCR's budget, and we felt it was more appropriate to be showing it on the CMMP. This draft also brings in updated FY26 rolling stock. That's all shown in a spreadsheet at the end of the section of the packet. And then on electric, we also removed a project, the intermediate level protection that you've seen for the last couple of years, that has been rolled into the broader sub-transmission upgrades project. So it'd be accomplishing the same thing. We're just not showing the intermediate level protection as its own project anymore. So those are all, relatively small changes. The big change with this draft of the CMMP is including all of the infrastructure that we were required to build if we were to deliver utilities to Trident. So the biggest component of that is, like Eric talked about a couple months ago, a new diesel power plant in Pyramid Valley. That would be about $107 million with, based on the timelines that we have from Trident now, and permitting we need to commence in FY27 for that, and then construction to follow. The other addition here is Trident utility upgrades to extend water and wastewater to the facility. So the current Captain's Bay Road utility plans that you've seen on the CMMP, those are extending utilities up to the property line of OSI. That's where our right of way, the public right of way, ends. And beyond that is all private property from there to Trident. So this new project is an estimate for the design and construction costs of bringing those utility extensions beyond that property line at OSI all the way to Trident. It does not include any of the rights of way or easements that we would need to acquire, in order to make that happen. It's, like I said, it's currently all private property. So in total, that infrastructure to support the Trident facility to bring them utilities, electric, water, and wastewater, would total about $114 million. I included that on the CMMP as like undetermined funding source for that. But you've talked about this previously. There's options like a USDA Rural Utility Service loan or private investment options. So it's just not, it's right now undetermined, but we wanted to show that for you, that it's out there. It's not a certain thing. The rest of the CMMP is fundamentally what you've seen in previous drafts. Happy to answer questions about other parts of it too, if you have something beyond the changes that I mentioned. But I'll just close with our one staff recommendation. We're not showing anything on the 1% fund right now. I'm not making a recommendation of whether we should commit 1% fund to this or not, but I just want to say that if you would like us to do that, we would need a directive in order to do that. But I'm happy to answer any questions or, defer more technical ones to directors if you have them.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments on the CMMP draft, final draft, or what Cameron has brought, discussed? Really? Yeah. Councilman Bell?
I'm glad you brought up the 1% fund. I've seen that statement throughout many of the packets here, and I just wanted to ask staff if there's something that they may be looking at that would be better suited using that 1% fund. And additionally, we know that we're doing a roof study throughout the city's buildings. And in my mind, that 1% fund would be a good use of that. So I'm kind of hesitant to use that 1% fund as some of these capital projects until we know that dollar amount to do repairs to our building. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Luby. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, and I think I'm on the other side of the fence with the 1% fund. I think you probably knew that, but, and I'm looking at the capital projects we've already appropriated money to, which a lot of the roofs are already in there. We've already set money aside for that. And so I'm not, I guess, are we doing another roof study and going to change those, the ones that have already had money appropriated to them?
So the ones that have already been appropriated, so I think we have the Public Works Building and the Aquatic Center. Those are on the books already. The roof study is looking at the roofs of all other city buildings. And that's the number, the number of roofs that need to be worked on, or what the dollar amount of that is undetermined right now.
Just remember there's 47 structures.
Yeah, I know. We have a lot. And so, okay, so yeah, because I'm just kind of looking, there's, you know, quite a bit of money already appropriated to those. But I don't, you know, we're going to have to use money from somewhere, because we're not going to balance this budget. So it's either going to come from a fund balance of the general fund or a fund balance of the 1% fund. You know, so either one. I think that I was actually looking at the fire truck and thinking that, you know, that's a huge dollar amount. So I was kind of thinking that that one would be a good one to pull out and, you know, use the 1% fund versus eating up our general fund. And then, you know, looking out the next 3 years, there's a lot of money in the CMMP, a lot of money. And a lot of it has to do with maintaining, which, again, you know, we should have money for it if we're using our depreciation properly, right? Or not properly, but in a different way than what we've, you know, used in the past. I think that, you know, that's something to really look at so that we have the money for these, you know, upgrades and replacements and things like that, fixing the roofs. That would be a perfect, you know, thing for something like that. But, and I really hate to say it, but we're probably not going to have a new fire station. I don't think the money is going to be there. That amount of money is like 33% of our, I think, of the general fund that we have unassigned to other projects. So I kind of feel like going, you know, looking down the future, and I really hope that we could do something like that. You know, I think it's something that, you know, would benefit the town and everything. And I think that the fire department's worked really, really hard. But looking at all of the other projects we have right now and maintaining, you know, the infrastructure we have, you know, just, you know, to build in something new right now, I just, you know, I just don't know if we can really do that. And we can look at it more next year, but I just, you know, don't want everybody getting their hopes up that that might happen, because right now I don't see it happening. So anyway, just, these are some big projects, and the electric is huge. So another thought I had thought about was, you know, the, we talked about the LID, the local improvement district, to help pay for the utility improvements. And I think that we really should look really hard at that for some of the funding for those utilities going out to Captain's Bay. And then also, you know, we have to pave. That's a huge amount we have, you know, for paving Captain's Bay as well. And maybe we put a toll road in, and then that's a way. It's a way. I mean, it is a way to the users, you know, they're the, I hear all the time, I have to drive this road every day and I'm getting beat up because of the, you know, the potholes, and I get it, you know, it's not fun, but I don't know. We're going to have to find ways to pay for this stuff, because, you know, looking at some of these projects, I don't see us having the funding. Our budget is basically pretty much our operating budget, and that's going to increase over time as well. So anyway, things to look at. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle.
Yeah, well, this project are good in here. You know we don't have much money in there yet, but funds always, we always apply for funds that comes up. And the project won't go through until we got enough money anyway. We keep moving them every year until we finalize something and get enough funds for them. So keeping them in there, I think it's the best way. There's always funds going to be available when time comes. And if it don't come, we'll just keep moving them because we've been moving them the past, what, 5, 6 years? But we just got to keep them in there, because that will be a big improvement for this community, and this is something that we need to be looking forward to in the future, that something like this will happen. It don't have to happen tomorrow, but it can happen in the future. But we got to keep it in there wherever we got in here, so to make sure we look after the community. So a lot of this project costs a lot of money, but there's a ways to get grant and apply for a lot of support. That's why we lobbied and everything to make our community better. So I like what I see in here, and I think we got to keep whatever is in here. Thank you. This is good put together.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Tungrel. Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. I guess just because it's been mentioned, you know, even though it's a couple years out, yeah, the new possibility of new fire station. I thought you've mentioned, though, a couple of times that that was grant dependent, but you guys have it in the general fund. Okay.
Put more money in it. Okay, there we go. Can you hear me now? So we have it listed in the general fund right now. That is a project that we think, you know, could be heavily grant funded, and the fire chief's actually done a lot of work already to identify various sources for that, both state and federal. So it would not, that project would not all be coming out of the general fund. Okay. I don't know what that funding breakdown would look like right now. It's a bit early for that, but we'd be aggressively going after outside funding for it.
Yeah, new building is way off until something, yeah. happens on, so yeah, I was just surprised to see it. I know it had been in there, and I failed to mention something earlier about it. It's like, why is it in this category when it probably should, as a placeholder, be in the other one? So so just as a matter of record, just wanted to say that. Okay, library generator, this was during the COVID funds. We acquired that one particular, and this is $150,000 for the install. What other facilities have the emergency generators?
Mark or Eric, you probably know better than I would. I can list off a couple.
Here.
This building does.
And City Hall, Public Works.
Public Works.
And Public Safety.
Public
does.
Safety.
We have one up on the haystack, obviously, for operations up there.
Okay.
Antennas, I should say.
I'm not questioning. Public Safety has one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They do.
All right. And this has just been sitting around, and we needed to get it put in place. Okay. And then next question is, can we go to rolling stock?
Yeah, sure.
So, I see that on my last sheet here, that we had $795,000 slated for it, but it looks like rolling stock now has changed dramatically. Sorry.
The fire trucks didn't move
the fire truck. I was just looking at the public works site. They had a $795,000 in public works for 2026, and now it's at, sorry, little baby writing, $100,000. We do a little revamping there. Do you know what happened?
So I think, like Bill mentioned, the fire truck, the sheet shows the fire truck included on the rolling stock, but we broke that out as a separate project. So,
okay.
And the CMMP, that table on the screen, I subtracted that out, so we weren't counting it twice. I think the other large changes to this, and I think Mark can speak more to this than I can, are for the police vehicles and an ambulance.
Which ambulance are we looking to replace? Is it Is it out of service? What's why we're replacing an ambulance?
Well, I think we're planning to have it because it's 3 years out. So we're looking at our rolling stock and how long it takes some of these things to get here. So their decision is based on they're still good, but will they still be good in 3 years based on recommended practices? Then is it station two, I believe. Is that correct?
So the current rolling stock replacement guidelines are showing that the ambulance is on a 7-year replacement. I believe the ambulance year that we're replacing this year is a 2000, is it in here?
2016.
Is a 2016. So we're already a couple years past that replacement. That truck has been having quite a bit of issues. The shop has put in quite a bit of time and money because it is a diesel truck. So there's been a lot of regen and DPF issues. And then the other big consideration is that we're at 28 to 31 months lead time to replace it.
Okay. And we got a new service truck. So this is the big, not fire. Yes, thank you. this is the one that goes around and the oiler uses. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and that one too is pretty old. And okay, thank you. and the new patrol vehicles. These now, because I don't see the rest of the rolling stuff. So these are the ones that the ones currently. Well, these are not. They're not adding to the rolling stock, right? These vehicles will then get moved down to other departments, and then we will end up selling to vehicles
correct.
Out of the whole lot, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I just did. I didn't, we're just not adding. Two will come out. Same with the excavators, right? We will be selling off the older ones, or we've got three excavators that are looking to get. Oh, we got one that's going to surplus. Yeah, you show the surplus. So this Department of Public Utilities, is that one going? The one is it a replacement?
Sorry, it's an addition.
It's an addition. So why are we getting an addition?
So more specifically, it's actually a portable vector truck, specifically for excavating. The city has the large roads vector truck, specifically for the drainage and doing all the maintenance in the summer. And we have a contaminated sewer truck to do all our cleanups for sewer-related items and cleaning our lift stations and whatnot. And it's quite a process, actually, to utilize a wastewater vector truck for digging or doing any sort of utility exposures. And this portable excavator is just going to be a trailer, kind of like a more mobile. So if we need to expose utilities or do any digging, any person can really pick it up and do the work. In addition to that, it'll be outfitted with smaller suction hoses. So for a lot of our mainline valves in the roads that you have, annual maintenance can be a lot easier completed. Typically, they've gone out with an auger and removed any sediment or soil that collects over time. So that's a plan used for it.
So not only is it an excavator, but it has, I have never seen one of these. So
it's just a portable vector truck on a trailer, just a trailer you tow around. It's got a big hose and a nozzle to dig the dirt. It just kind of washes away. It's like a power washer with a wand and a vacuum hose.
And we've gotten away with not having to have one for how many years? So what is the justification for getting it now?
More of a need for maintenance. Our focus is really going towards maintaining our assets and just taking care of, you know, problems that really come up over time. And with the need that we have, there's quite an overlap with Public Works and when they need to do their maintenance on drainage.
because ideally, you know, we would use just wastewater or another truck that we have on hand, but the process to decontaminate that truck and make it safe to actually get rid of the spoils on regular land is pretty difficult.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I don't have any other questions right now. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions for Councilman Bell?
I'm gonna follow up on Councilman Coleman's comments here, and you know, I'm all for buying, you know, equipment and you know, getting the latest tools and everything to make the job easier. In some cases, it cuts down on the number of men we need to, or the number of personnel we need to operate a piece of equipment. However, in this case, you know, when we start talking about Vactor trucks and, you know, big giant vacuums, you know, I had heartburn when we went to 3 Vactor trucks, just because of, you know, the size of the community we are, and the potential need for Vactor, you know. Anyways, I just have some concerns about, you know, grabbing a 4th piece of equipment that does, you know, basically the same thing that, you know, the other 2 pieces of equipment do. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further questions? Yeah, MP. Draft? None? Okay. Thank you. Does anyone in chambers wish to speak to the CMMP plan draft? City clerk, is any written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. No written comments or anyone on Zoom.
Thank you. Move to item C under our work session, the Robert Storrs Harbor Project update. And I'll turn this over to City Manager and Peggy McLaughlin, Ports Director.
Thank you. So tonight we have a presentation from Ports Director Peggy McLaughlin about the Bobby Storrs Project. It's been on our CMMP since I've been here. I think it's been on for around 12 years. And I think Peggy has a timely update.
We have a speech. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for cutting out some time in the schedule to hear this update. The last update you had from us officially was resulted in the posters that are hanging behind you. I'm sorry, I should have moved those over so that you could have seen them there. Tonight, I really want to go over the project and review the most recent design, where we're at with that, the timeline on the project in terms of bidding, design, financial needs. There's some additional considerations that came out of our fall public input process. And then I'm really ultimately we'll be looking for some direction and some decisions from council on how you want to proceed forward with 2 very specific items. One is kind of the idea of the financing piece of that. And then also I will need some direction on whether to move forward with a little bit of additional design for the consideration for the 60-foot slip. So I'll just walk you through this. There's some really great stuff happening here. This is the design as it stands today. We are at 50% design for the float layout. That is what we needed to get to be able to produce the bid documents. Remember, we're doing a design build project, not a design bid build, which means we're designing it enough that we can create solid specs for a contractor to bid on the construction and the remaining design. So they'll meet our specifications in terms of strength, electrical, water, utility demands, our slip requirements, our our pile placement, and then it's kind of up to them to determine means and methods to meet our criteria for a 50-year dock with those things in place. So there's typically a considerable cost savings doing it that way. It does mean that we have to write our specifications very clearly so that we get the product that we desire. So in September, we took the plan that had been completed, the concept design that had been completed for A and B float. We went through various renditions of that and had seven design concepts. And in September, we held a public meeting for the Bobby Stores users for A and B float. And we had a pretty good turnout for that and got some really valuable input. So what that resulted in is, if you look, the float on the left, that is A float, and the float on the right is B float. It was determined during that meeting that there was, because we were extending the harbor out and adding slips to the harbor, that there were some wind and weather wave conditions that we needed to take into consideration. We did some extra studies on that and determined that we needed to bolster the B float. And it is now, instead of 8 feet, it's 16 feet. And you'll notice it has no slips on the Galaxy dock side of that. And that is because that'll be a linear tie that will also double as a breakwater during the rough months. You'll also note at the end of A float that there was originally slips all the way out on that. We removed those slips because it was determined that the wind direction coming through there did not provide where the slips end, there's enough protection from the land side and the contours that are on the land side that it doesn't get the full impact of the wind. But as we extend further out into those tidelands, there was consideration to the smaller vessels being moored on that side in a slip configuration. So those were removed, and that is also linear tie. What that results in for us is let me make sure I've got this right here. 36 slips, where originally we had 12. So 36 slips and over 1,000 feet of linear tie. So the design that we saw up here added 42 slips to the dock and 643 feet of linear tie is what we had. We now have 36 slips and over 1,000 feet of linear tie, which will meet the demand of our current waiting list with some wiggle room. We've got the 22 footers on the smaller slips, so the 22 foot, 32 foot, 42 foot, and then we have the linear tie. The uplands, because of the kind of the spaghetti bowl that we often have with our utilities and our locates, we had them design that to 100%. We're sitting at 95% right now, so we're nearing completion with that. The uplands include a two individual, in one building, unisex restrooms, has security cameras, extended the parking. The land swap with Unisea is in progress, and we've been working with our legal team to determine means and methods to make sure that we have everything right in place when we're ready to go out for bid with this. So that's how it stands today. That's what it looks like. I should say that we have taken the 50% design and run it through all the city utility departments, fire department. So they've reviewed the designs and had their opportunity to give their input on that. Those have gone back through P&D engineers, and they've made comment, adjusted, addressed those comments, and made adjustments where appropriate. Timeline of the dock is moving along on schedule right now. A couple of things I want to make sure that we're kind of addressing. If you'll see where we start out, we're kind of doing multiple tasks at once. You know, we had the design concept submittal, and we worked through the public process, but all along they were preparing information for the permitting process. And those are now being moved out into agency reviews. What I will tell you right now is that we were really, because we know Bobby Stores Harbor is in dire straits, we were really hoping to compress the schedule on this. And we are there where we know that there's with the companies that are likely to bid on the kind of plug and play float systems. There's a 6 to 8 month lead time for those builds and ship out. So by the time we, you know, put the bids out, it goes through the bid process, we award, we've got a couple of months of submittals back and forth with whoever is awarded the contract, and then they go to build, and then we get 6 to 8 months from there. So we were hoping to kind of compress that and get that out sooner than later. In talking with the engineers, I think we're going to hold back right now and wait to push to have those that go out to bid the 1st of July when the budget cycle is renewed, because that aligns with this schedule. And what P&D is seeing is considerable delay in the federal permit reviews. So we do not want to put at risk, because the risk would be, right, if we have delays in those federal permits, that we have floats built and then we have to pay for storage. And that exact process just costs Sitka about $700,000. We can't afford that to this project. So we are really babysitting the timelines of permitting and bid and all those kind of things. We will keep you updated as that unfolds, but it's really a very touchy schedule right now. Very fluid as well. Any questions on the schedule before I move on to the next slide?
So the material availability is it'll be available.
As of last week, we believe so.
Okay, so it can change too. Yeah, that's the concern. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, Councilman Coleman.
And the permits are already, we've already applied for them.
They're in the works. Yes,
they are in the works.
Yes,
and that's just for driving pile, right?
It's the whole, there's a whole series of permits that go with that. There'll be the DEC permits and all those kinds of, which are state.
Yeah.
The IHA is the big one, which is the incidental hazardous take for marine mammals. That's the one that has the longest lead time on it. That's got to go through the National Marine Fisheries. There's a couple of agency reviews in that process.
Okay. And do you know where we are on that?
I will have an update for you here in a little bit. Because we're going to have to put in some other considerations. I know that has been, it's in front of that. And they, when we met with P&D last week, they believe that this permitting process is on schedule, assuming that the federal agencies are on schedule.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else on this before we move on? Councilman Ruby.
Yeah, I was just, so I'm looking at the CMMP here with the funding that we're looking for. So it looks like that kind of matches up with the shortfall. Is that the 5 million from the grant?
I would love to dive into that like in depth, but can we wait till we get to that slide? Because I've got lots of information that might answer your questions before we go down the
perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Not liking me very much, as Carlin. Maybe you could advance that one for me. Thank you. They're not very fast moving, so we should be okay. So where we're at with the financing is council approved a ways in the Wayback Machine, $6.6 million and some change. The project estimate as it stands of last week, including the change order, the change in the design, we are now at $15,291,044. That puts the project at a shortfall with the estimate at $8,596,044. Now there is a contingency in that, but that is always good to have. When we put this project forward, we budgeted what we thought was going to be the difference of what we were applying for with the Harbor Grant. The Harbor Grant, of course, is in varying forms. When I left the lobbying trip in February, the Senate Finance Committee had included that. Diane Bloomer notified the city manager this weekend that is not in the currently in the budget looks. We have the Harbor Association is also bird dogging that, and they're working with some of their contacts to see if we can figure out why and if we can get another sniff at getting it back in the budget. It is unlikely, to be fair. It is unlikely. And it's just kind of, it's very unfortunate, but if there is funding for that, it may not be the full 5 million. It may not. And if they fund part of the grant applications, I think the total monies applied to for the statewide was about $7.2 million. So we're the bulk of that application. So if they choose to fund some of that, but at a smaller amount, oftentimes they will choose to fund, not reduce the number one project, but they will choose to fund two whole projects so that they can feel like they have, you know, we funded two projects, even though that wasn't necessarily the top of the scoring. So we talk about, you know, the right now, what we know we're looking at is $8.5 million, almost $8.6 million in a shortfall to complete the project. So one of the things we're going to need to talk to council about is the port fund does not have $8.6 million. I think the last time we checked, I had about $1 million in cash. But you do need to have reserves for operating. And the consideration, the ask of council would be is if council is willing to either fund out of the general fund or fund through a loan through the general fund for the port to complete this project. Bobby Stores is not going to make it that much longer. We do need to either build it or take it down. The electrical system is probably my biggest concern right now. So that's one of the things I want council to, I'm asking council to consider, to think about. And then we need to determine if that is something you have an appetite for, then the consideration comes, you know, in what form do you want to see that hit? Do you want to see that in a budget amendment, or do you want us to see us open up the CMMP and add that back into the CMMP against the Ports and Harbor project for Bobby Stores? So those are the things that I wanted to be out there and be completely transparent. The port fund cannot afford right now the $8.6 million in the shortfall. We just don't have it. But I think council, this is well within your wheelhouse to have a discussion of how valuable this asset is to our community and what that means and how that needs to be repaired and replaced. So I'll leave that there. Any questions, Deneen, on where we're at with that?
Yeah, so going back to this, you know, what's in the CMMP here, so that's the $8.5 million. And so we're still, even if we get that grant, we're still, the $3.5 million, is that on top of the $8
million? No.
Okay, so that would be what's left if we get $5 million grant.
Correct. That would be what's left if we were successful in receiving the grant.
Okay. And those are the numbers, basically, is the grant. And in FY26 or 20, or that's this year, right?
Yes.
The three. Okay.
So I think it's important to say that if we're going to maintain the schedule that we've discussed, we are going to need to fund this project. We can't put the project out to bid unless we have it funded, because that's not good faith efforts. So if we're going to maintain the schedule that we have in front of us that we just discussed, it needs to be funded in FY26.
Councilman Luby.
Yeah, so these harbors we've been talking about since the 90s. I know I have gone through a lot of this, and these harbors they're really important. I know that we got the Little South America with the Carl Moses dock, but that doesn't help the community. That is more for big fishing boats. And a lot of people are upset about that they're not, you know, that the community's not able to use those docks. And we need something for our community. You know, we don't have a lot of entertainment here as it is. And, you know, if we can get out there on our boats and, you know, enjoy some of the weather when we can. And we have a lot of small fishing boats here. You know, and I see the sea float where they're doubling up all the time because they don't have any other place to really go. And so I think this is an important project, something that we've, you know, been trying to do for 30 years, and we're at this point, and hopefully we'll get that $5 million. But I did hear that the state budget's like almost $2 million in the hole, or billion, I yeah. think, today. Yeah. And so things aren't looking very good on the state side either right now. So
they are not.
But I think we should move forward with it and hope that we get that, or, you know, hope that we get a grant by the time we're done. But I'm in support of it because I think it's just something we've needed to do for a long time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle.
Did they put it on the STIP or we did not even?
This isn't one that qualifies that one for the STIP. That yeah.
qualify on the STIP.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be in full support of this. This is a long time. I've been sitting here for a long time. This has been a discussion on this every year, and it's never gone through. So, I guess the discussion will be where we're gonna be getting the funding for it. Either. I think that's the only next discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman and Bell.
So, I mean, I think we've been trying to get the Harvard grant for quite a while. I don't know, well, or at least it's always been talked about, and I know it hasn't. It's, yeah, either hasn't made it or there hasn't been any money for it. This project has been delayed, I know, because we have been really trying to push to get supplemental funding for that. You know, so it's a replacement and it needs to be replaced. It's falling apart. Anybody, I go down and walk, will have one of the fingers is like, you know, 45 degree and pretty dangerous. So, I mean, other than them breaking out, either get rid of it or just replace it. Repairing just isn't, it just doesn't make financial sense to do that. It's always been my thought, and I know it's general fund, but the 1% was always kind of, there's nothing in writing, but in designated to the enterprise funds because they have very limited ways of those particular projects. They're usually big and they're usually needed. And that's where that 1% has always been well used for these projects, for those enterprise funds or the proprietary funds. We have the money in the 1% to do it, to cover it. I mean, that's what it's for. That's what it was voted to do, is for these projects. And projects like this, when they come up, they're pretty big and should be used for that. So I would say that's, and if it needs to be in the capital, in the CMMP for this year to show that we are going to move money for it, then you need to put it in the CMP, as that's going to require, I don't know, or a budget amendment, but it needs to be, we have the funds, the 1%, it's there. So in order to make this thing happen, that's what I would suggest. So I don't know what would make that the best. And then if we get the grant, fantastic, then the money goes back. So I don't know what would make you, what this best, asking the city manager, would you prefer to take action on? If the council decides to move this to this fiscal year, for this fiscal year.
I agree that the 1% fund seems like it would be the proper source to build, to bridge the gap here. It's unfortunate that this is the year that our project scored number one with the state and we have no money. Seems to be always the kind of bad luck cloud that sometimes follows you around. But there are a couple of things, and I think it's probably best in another iteration, after I have a chance to talk with the whole team about some of the other things that are happening so that we can make sure we move and match funds, or what is it we don't want to get done and put off to another year. So, for example, we still have the $3.4 million from the Crab Disaster Relief Fund that really hasn't been programmed. So there's those funds as well. And I just want to put all of them on, kind of like the shell game, so you can see kind of what we're going to recommend But it is nice to know that you guys support this project, and we will figure out a good formula how to fund it.
Okay, so I guess it wouldn't be a budget amendment because we don't we're not you want to get, make a move before on July 1st to be able to say this. So this would be or it'd be a budget amendment to this fiscal year, right? That's if well, that would be the best.
We've done that. We did that last year with the water line, hoping to get ahead of the project. We still didn't get it done by the end of the construction season. I think I talked with Peggy about that, if we wanted to do that and get it out in a budget amendment. But I think we both feel just to continue the way we are and budget it appropriately. But we will talk about that again. But I think we have the money. It's just how do you want to move it around? What do you really want to fund? What's the priorities, as you say? It always comes up in our CMMP that maintaining what we have is always number one in project with grant funds, usually supplemented as number two for priorities in the CMMP. So it's just a matter of how do you want to do it. This project needs to happen. It's already has docks of boats floating away on it, and we need to discontinue the use of these docks. This is, I think, in talking with Ms. McLaughlin, this is the absolute last year that we can use those docks. So.
Okay. Well, I'm supportive of it on the projected timeline that the ports director is indicating. And so I'll just wait and see how you want to handle the allocations on that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Bell.
The mortgage fees that get charged for that dock, if we borrowed some of that money, does that generate enough revenue without jacking up the rates to pay back?
Currently, it does not. And the rates are going to have to go up regardless. We're right in the middle of our rate study. Our revenues were not reflected in the operating budget with the rate increases because we're not far along enough in that study to be able to produce something that's given us any confidence in the numbers. But everything indicates that the rates are going to go up generally across the board, and that will include Bobby stores. And what those rates look like in terms of covering the costs of a loan, I guess, to be fair, if council wanted to do a loan where the port fund was paying that back to the 1% as example, then we would have to include that information in the rate study so that we could make sure that the rates do cover that.
Just trying to think out loud the whole process here. You know, it would be kind of a gotcha to say, hey, great, you know, community, we've got this in brand new dock, but yeah, the mortgage rates are so high now that, you know, it doesn't make any sense to put a boat there anymore. But, you know, I definitely supported getting this job done and getting this project done and going. And you know, the 1% fund, I think using some of the money out of the 1% fund is reasonable. You know, having a better grasp on what we have in the general fund and, you know, funding it out of the general fund and, you know, just get the money there and get it done. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Do we have what?
I'm not quite done here.
Is there a way?
You thought that you were getting off easy. No, I'm not done here. Are we ready to, is there any more questions on the
finances? I was going to say that the rate schedule that you have now doesn't pay for what you have or what repairs we have to make over the last, 15 years have been going downhill since then.
Yeah.
I mean, I was over there a couple of times and tying them up to other boats to keep afloat in.
Yeah. The part of the problem is the infrastructure of the floats themselves have no integrity to get any kind of the repairs on them.
And what about the floaters in there that people are living on? Are they charging them?
There are no liveaboards. There are no liveaboards over at Bobby Stores.
There's about 200 or 300 are abandoned then.
There is one that is abandoned that we have applied for a grant to have her removed, and we're also working in kind of in concert with the project timeline and hoping to be able to, they're in the process of being.
Is it that floating yet sold to somebody and get some money for it? Anyway, go ahead.
It's the proverbial harbor hot potato. I'll sell you a boat for a buck. Now it's still my problem, but somebody else owns it. Okay, let's see. There it worked. So in the process of going through the public meetings and the additional wind study and wave study, we made adjustments to both A and B float for considerations for wave action and wind action. What that did was we removed the 60-foot fingers and slips from the harbor with the idea that they would become linear tie. We have one 50 to 60 foot fishing vessel in there today. Most of them have moved over to the Discovery dock or a transient. And that particular vessel owner has real concerns about what that means for the safety of him mooring his boat and various wind directions. So after a lot of back and forth and discussion with the vessel owner, we took it to P&D and said, look, this is kind of what he believes the solution would be. Could you please pencil out to us what that looks like? And we asked him specifically to take into consideration, does that work with the geotechnical work that we did? Does that stay within our footprint of our tidelands? And then what is the cost of that? So what you have is a 60-foot finger on the outside of a float at a wishbone configuration. And it does work with our geotechnical information. It does technically stay within our footprint of our tidelands. The cost is a little bit staggering because there's additional piles that need to be driven. It's comes in, I think it was $368,000 to do that change and to build that finger in that position. I did have some comments back from the engineer. He says we're at a crossroads regarding the environmental permitting documents. Now that the 50% design has been completed, environmental documents, including the all any less than the Corps of Engineers, DEC, all those, the IHA, and others are now substantially complete. They all include project descriptions and permit drawings reflected the 50% design layout. If the city wishes to add the 60-foot finger, now is the most efficient time to modify those documents and include the new scope and to add the 60-foot to scope in the application. It will take time to make these revisions, but it would take more time to modify them later. So that's one piece of the information. The other thing that the engineer brought to our consideration in this process is that if the owner of the tidelands adjacent to our tidelands were to build out to their boundary, we could no longer navigate a 60-foot vessel in there. I only bring that to you because what that would be is, if we ever got to that point, other discussions, right? But in fairness to the slip owner or the slip user who has been in there for 30 years with his fishing business, I thought it was important that council have the opportunity to look at this and understand what it means. The city does not have a particular position on this. The port does not have a particular position on this. What I would say is that the cost is something that I find a really important piece to weigh in, and the navigation piece should the other tideland owner navigate out there. We are committed to providing service for this user, and we are committed to providing him docking space in whatever weather conditions. But I think it's important that we bring this to you because we did eliminate the 60-foot slips and change them into a linear tie configuration. And so I think it's worth having that discussion openly. Mr. Dickerson is here tonight. He may want to comment on that, but he has had, we've had a lot of discussion about his safety concerns about docking at Bobby Storr's A and B float in the configuration as it is today. So that is my piece on that. And so now we're at, you know, the feedback. I am requesting council to have some discussion. I don't know that we necessarily have to have a decision tonight, but having some discussion on whether they would like to move forward with putting forward the design for the 60-foot finger with the engineering group,
And then also we've had some pretty, I've gotten some pretty clear direction, I think, on the funding source of how you want to handle going forward with funding the project. So we'll work internally and come back with you with an appropriate means to put that into the budget. But that's what I have for you on Bobby Stores. If there's any other questions.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, so we got rid of all the 60-foot slips completely. It's all linear type for them.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And so where this comes out all this this far, I wish I had more of a diagram of the rest of it so I could see how it lined up with where it indents goes towards the Wallashack area there. Just for the, you know, the wind and waves, you know, we all know they get really big there. But the slip owner is okay with that location.
So under certain conditions, I don't think they're super excited. Does this work? Here we go. Okay. So to be clear, this is A float and B float. This is where we originally had the 60 on this side of B float, where we had the 60-foot fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did the wave study, it was determined that that was going to be too much of an effort. Mind you, we took the 200-year high for the weather incident. But so those fingers were removed from here. At the same time, we did some wind information where we removed the smaller fingers from here. And so the vessel owner had the opportunity to do linear tie here. They have all the same electrical. He'll have electrical connection of his needs, regardless of location. Or here, right? Depending on wind and weather. But he had some real concerns, and I'm not a navigator. I'm an administrator. So I don't really feel like I can speak to those properly. But at least from his perspective. But that was what drove this, was that he felt that there was some, under certain weather conditions, neither spot was fully accommodating, and felt like the 60-foot finger was accommodating under all weather conditions. And so, you know, it's an add-on to the project. It's worthy of council's consideration. And I guess that's how I can answer that.
So the fingers on the other, on basically the, I guess that would be the southeast side. Because when the wind blows southeast.
So these are the 20 footers on inside. These are 32s. These are 42s. And then the 60s were on this side here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And yeah, I don't. It's tough because the wind, depending on which way it's coming, it gets nasty in there. Either way, and it's really hard for vessels and, you know, to stay tied up, for sure. So anyway, okay.
Any further question on this addition? I mean, I heard you mention a timeline. Did you expect us to say something tonight or next week or
no? I think you need to have an opportunity to.
What's the deadline before you could have this thing changed at all?
Well, I think if we can get the information to P&D after the next council meeting, not tomorrow night, but the next regular meeting, we should be in good shape.
Oh, okay.
And that will give you opportunity to look into it and research it and understand it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Anybody else? Questions? None? Okay, let's see.
Mayor, I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but I think Mr. Dickerson might want an opportunity.
I was just getting ready to call him.
Okay, good.
Thank you. You might do. Okay, this time we'll take receive public comments from the public. Where is he? Get up. You're up, Dusty. You got 3 minutes. Make it fast.
Okay.
3 minutes.
For the record, my name is Dustin Dickerson, and I am a small boat fisherman. I've been at that harbor for 31 years and have been waiting along with everybody else to build a new one. And it's just the luck of the draw. I ended up without a slip when we did the wind and the wave analysis. And after consideration, I drew a line on a map and took it to Peggy and Scott, who I would like to thank very much for taking the time to spend with me to sort of move the ball down the field on my behalf, my family's behalf. So a boat needs a home. And as Deneen pointed out, you know, the wind blows in two directions, and a side tie really is, it just doesn't work in strong northerly winds or strong southerly winds there. So that wishbone configuration does work. What's important to me as a commercial fisherman is to be able to get out of the harbor and onto the fishing grounds when the weather gets calm, meaning that I'm leaving during rough weather to get out there when the weather gets calm. And oftentimes I'll be leaving the fishing grounds to get back to port once the weather gets crummy out there. And so by the time we get into the harbor, it's actually even worse sometimes. So I believe that the spot that we drew on a map or on this chart here is a best case scenario. The wishbone configuration works. The slip that I've been in now for several years has allowed me the flexibility to get in and out of port in basically all conditions. And I believe that a slip at the end of the eighth float there will provide that home, that protection, the ease of getting out and getting back in. And so I guess I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Dustin. Any questions for Dusty or comments? Mm-hmm. Councilman Luby?
Was this the best spot that you could figure out of any other area to put a wishbone in there? You thought that was better than anywhere else?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Councilman Coleman?
I think just more of a comment. I think when we first started this, I thank you. I didn't realize that we had taken out the 60-foot ones because of the wind study, because I know that they were on the deep side, on the east side, thanks to the Galaxy Dock, because of the wind. I know that it gets fierce through there. So I don't think it was ever really an intention to displace it, you know, just to add for smaller boats. So obviously when you do things and change things around, you know, it's a change and not everybody can be happy, but you know, it is a bit of a concession to make, because otherwise you'd have to move totally. And I don't think that was ever the intent of the project, is to displace people permanently, and just to be more accommodating to smaller boats. And if this is the design that makes that happen, then, you know, sometimes you just have to do it. So it's the whole thing's a big cost. And that leads just to two boats. Like I said, it's going to be a change. I'll let people hear mull on that. So the cost does obviously become a factor, but it was never like intent to displace. So it just might have to be a concession to be made. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? And for him. Okay, thanks, Dustin. Councilman Luby.
How many 60 foot or so the biggest that we can accommodate in a slip right now is how big?
That harbor is designed both the design that's there today, the one that we're replacing with, and Discovery Dock are all designed for 60 foot or under.
Okay, and so when we do the new dock, it's for under 60 foot, basically.
60 foot or under.
60 yes. foot or under.
Yeah.
And then, but there's no slips for, what are the biggest slips we have?
42.
42. And so so all the fishing boats that are like doubled up over on the sea float when the weather gets bad, or, I mean, we're still going to continue to do that. There's not going to be a place for them over here either.
They could linear tie. They're linearing tie. They linear tie now.
And they would just linear tie on that side. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I don't think that we should displace anybody that's already there. I think, you know, I think we need to at least accommodate, you know, the people that are already using the floats. And it is hard to side tie because you get boats right behind you and it's hard to get in and out, especially when the winds are bad. And one of these days I'll have to tell you a story about Wrangell. But anyway, I would support, you know, putting in a linear dock or a float to accommodate them. And I just wanted to make sure there's nobody else out there that is getting displaced either.
The Raven Bay is the only class of that vessel class of that size that we have at the ambient float right now.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right. Thank you very much for the information. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak other than Dustin? anybody on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
City manager?
Yeah, I wanted to make a correction. There was, as just pointed out to me, that the ambulance was shown as a 2016 in the rolling stock, and it's really a 2012. I think it was someone mistyped what the year was. I wanted to just get that out there. So before you walk away with the wrong year, 4 years, and it'll stick if I don't fix it tonight.
All right, another 4 more years older. All right, thank you. Is anybody on Zoom or telephone supposed to speak to the Harbor Project?
No, sir. No one indicated.
I need a motion to return to regular session.
I make a motion to move to a regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson. And second by Councilman Tungle. With the hearing no objections, we're back in regular session at 7:33. Next item is council directives to the city manager. Are there any directives? Need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote. No directives. This time I'll take community input and announcements as a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. Go ahead.
Catherine McGlashan from UVB wanted me to let you know that the first cruise ship of the season is scheduled to be here on May 7th.
Early, huh? All right, thank you. May 7th. Any further announcements from the community?
Mayor
Chambers, anybody on phone or
I would like to remind council about the scholarship committee meeting. We are in need of one council member who would attend the meeting on Friday, April 11 at 2:45. So if you could please let me know or Heidi as soon as you're able, so we could get that meeting done.
April
11 at 2:45. Yeah. We only need one council member, please.
I'll go. Nobody else goes, I'll go. But
thank I you.
Need to know.
Go ahead. Okay, so it'll be the mayor then.
Then you can blame me, I guess.
Okay, thank you, Mayor.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? No further comments submitted on Zoom or helpful?
No, sir.
All right, thank you. I'll take a motion and a second to go into executive session.
I move to go to an executive session to discuss city manager's evaluation.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Longo. If hearing no objection, we are in executive session. Take a 5-minute break, clear the council chambers.